At the age of just 26, Jake is already well established within the yoga world, not only from a yoga teaching perspective, but also as a specialist in yoga branding and graphic design. With over 1,000 hours of training under his belt, Jake has a creative and unique yoga teaching style, emphasizing on the transitions between poses rather than the poses themselves. Welcome, Jake, to the Meet the Warriors series. And thank you for taking the time to speak to me today.
Thank you, Emma.
Let me begin by asking, what first inspired you to start practicing yoga, and in particular, Buddhakan yoga?
So I was drawn to yoga when I first left my job in London as a graphic designer, wanting to explore and find purpose and community and growth within myself. And I just felt like living in London and working a 9-to-5 job was really restricting for me. So I left with a one-way ticket to Hong Kong. And when I reached Hong Kong, I lacked purpose in any direction. And I had no idea of what I was really going to do. I had a practice of movement through rock climbing, slacklining, some basic gymnastics. And I came across a yoga teacher training after a few weeks in Hong Kong, just hanging out with some friends and meeting new people. And it just came my way through a Facebook ad. And it said, one spot left. And it was like 3 or 4 days away. I emailed them. I said, I've never really practiced yoga whatsoever, apart from basic stretching to cross train with my other movement practices. And he was inspired by my story, and he said, come along. So I had 4 days. I booked my tickets that night, and then it was one more day to wait, and then I got there the next day. I had to take like a day overnight train to Koh Phangan, and then I started my teacher training. And for me, the teacher training just then unlocked every stepping stone and transition to where I am right now. As soon as I finished my teacher training, I was straight into teaching in Cambodia. The door just opened and I had the opportunity from someone that I met. And then it's just kind of snowballed since. And then from there, the combination of design and yoga is just kind of bounced off each other and allowed each one to grow. And I always see each one as a vehicle for the other. So yoga allows the design to evolve, and the design allows the yoga to evolve.
And was that teacher training specifically in Buddhakan yoga?
Yes. It a different type? My first teacher training in Thailand was with All Yoga, which was an Ashtanga teacher training. So for me, when I started, I didn't really know any different styles of yoga. So Ashtanga made no difference. It was just the principle of yoga that was attractive for me. And I taught that for around 2 years. And then I came across Cameron Shane, who is the founder of Buddhakan, and I met him at the Om Show. And I entered his class unknowing really what I was expecting, apart from this kind of iconic sequence that I've seen online of these beautiful postures. And what I found, beautiful teacher that inspired me like no one else has inspired me before. The way that he views the world is inspirational and creative and individual. And I entered this class that was an hour and a half, where I expected kind of an Ashtanga style hour and a half practice. But what you got was these small clippets of movement and an hour worth of mind science, as he calls it, this eye-opening view on the modern world. And I didn't see him for over a year. And I contacted him regarding design work. Out of the blue, I just messaged him saying, I love what you do, and I would love to help you thrive visually and help with your branding. And it just happened to be the perfect timing where he met his new wife, Melaine. And she comes from a marketing background working for Adidas. So when I messaged, she was she looked me up, and they, you know, they both loved what I was doing, and we basically made a trade where I would help brand them, and then in return I would gain a yoga training, the Budokan yoga training. And ever since, over the last year, I've been working alongside them to support their brand, and then they've supported me in numerous ways, and we've created such a strong friendship.
That's fantastic. You've done a really, really good job on the branding for Budokan University. It looks amazing. We've had a look at their website. I suppose for our listeners who are new to yoga, and even for ourselves actually, are you able to tell us a little bit more about the practice of Budokan yoga and also the 80-20 principle that you've referred to in previous interviews?
Sure. So Budokan yoga was created by Cameron Shane. And Cameron Shane developed this practice through a mixed martial arts background. So as a young adult, he practiced martial arts and then found a yoga path that inspired him to start to combine these skill sets, because he saw the opportunity of this kind of holistic, well-rounded movement practice where he's now combining mixed martial arts in various aspects, from boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, and so on and so forth, combined with his kind of iconic yoga practice. The movements have gained purpose through the transitions of martial arts. And then the next layer on top of that is the calisthenics training that supports these two disciplines, to allow you to be stronger, more mobile, to do some of these more advanced postures and movements. So the meaning of Budokan: Bu means warrior, Do means the way, and Kan means spirit. So Budokan in translation means the way of the warrior's spirit. And the main aspect, the main message of Budokan, and something that really resonates with me, and something that I feel that has drawn me to Budokan rather than just this kind of modernized yoga practice, is this balance between the warrior and the yogi. And the warrior is this fighter within us, this person, this power, this strength, and knowing when to stand up for what we believe in. And then the yogi, the peacemaker, the person to understand when to sit and be still and to allow for what is to happen. And when I found the benefits of finding this balance between these two archetypes, it's really given me this whole new outlook on my life, but also outlook on my training, on my teaching, and it's really allowed me to evolve and be more confident in my relationships and in my environment.
Jake, it's so interesting to learn that part of the name Budokan means warrior. This is quite a salient fact for warrior addict. So I've got no doubt that Budokan's probably going to be cropping up again in some of the future warrior addict publications. So on to the next question. Why do you feel it's important to emphasize on the transition between poses rather than just the poses themselves?
The emphasis on the transition for me becomes really important because it's such a huge part of practice. And if we're taking away the transition and purely focusing on the pose, we have such a huge aspect of a yoga practice or any practice been taken away, and also taken away awareness and mindfulness. So imagine you're in a yoga class setting and you're in your warrior two, and you're told to maybe go into your reverse warrior or to your warrior one. There's no cues or direction on how to get there with control and awareness and to really engage and control the body So with Budokan Yoga, this focus on transition really allows you to be more focused and more aware through the entirety of your practice. And I think it's relatable to life. You know, we're told time and time again, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And I think if you can have a practice where you're continuously focusing through the transition, it really opens doors and creates a very powerful movement practice that can create a ripple effect in any athletic, sports-based practice. So I feel like it's more relatable to modern-day sports and athletic practices. That's why I think the transition is so important.
This is such a valid point, Jake. And yet it's something that's said to be quite unique about your particular teaching style.
There's a dilemma, really, when you start teaching transitions. And the problem is that teaching transitions is so complex in its movement because you're teaching a continuous movement, so an evolving movement. So as soon as you are cueing a movement, they're already continuing to move. So to teach a transitional-based practice, really, what you need is a workshop-based environment to allow that kind of practice to thrive. So in a generic one-hour yoga practice, to have the opportunity to add emphasis or teach transitional-based movement practices is very difficult. Because when people enter a class, what they are expecting is a workout in general, where a Budokan class or the practice itself is very much a teaching-based class. So you're coming more for a greater understanding of your physical self rather than a physical workout.
It's really insightful. You're motivating me to give it a go. And hopefully our listeners as well. So next question. What do you think, Jake, are the main benefits to men who practice yoga regularly? And what piece of advice would you give to male yoga virgins?
So yoga in general, you know, when I say yoga, let's just kind of open that spectrum and remove what we see generally as modernized yoga and think, let's just call it a generic yoga practice, a mindful movement practice. I think that would sum it up nicely. Is just gives you such a great awareness for mind-body connection. It gives you a very holistic way of approaching your body. So generally, if you are an athlete, your training program will be very single-focused on achieving the best results in your field. And then the other spectrum of that is, you know, if you're someone who is sitting at a desk for long periods of time, a holistic way of moving is so beneficial. And for people who have never tried yoga before, I think, you know, yoga has gained such a, it's created its own identity within Western culture. And, you know, we perceive it as being this certain thing, but it's such a wide spectrum of teachers, of practices, that it can be so beneficial. And, you know, I'll come back to Budokan. Budokan, what's so beautiful about it is it doesn't have any emphasis on promoting flexibility. So generally within a yoga class, it's promoted as number one to gain more flexibility. And once you're in a yoga class, it's always promoted or encouraged to deepen, to lengthen, to extend the body. Because it's going to have a benefit for you. But you can over mobilize yourself, and also you can over lengthen, and you can tear ligaments and connective tissue within the body, especially if it's something you don't do regularly or you overdo. And this concept of continuous movement, coming back to continuous movement, and when we're talking about continuous movement, we're also transitioning from flexibility to mobility. So when we talk about mobility, we're talking about going into a certain amount of stretch, a certain amount of opening within the body, but whilst maintaining a solid structure and support of the body, which so we're increasing strength. So this is this balance between strength and flexibility that really sums up this word mobility. So for a male, the opportunity to come to a Budokan class specifically allows you to really thrive in your body, because it is more a overall holistic based practice that allows the body to become stronger and more flexible, but in turn create more mobility, because we're using this transitional practice rather than sitting in poses.
I love the term that you use there, mindful movement practice. That's a really, really nice way of putting it. So you mentioned that you're into slacklining. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and tell us if or how sports such as slacklining and climbing are complemented by yoga practice?
So my transition to my yoga practice, or to yoga, was through first rock climbing and then slacklining, then yoga. And it's an interesting journey, because when I look back, it's this opportunity that I've given myself to look after my body. And I've continuously looking for a holistic way of moving. So I've come from an extreme sports background of multiple injuries, and this mentality of not caring about the body. You know, there's no future when you're young. It's just right now, which is such a beautiful place to be, but something that is untrue. So when I started to develop and I found rock climbing, again, it was that connection to nature, that beautiful movement, that strength and flexibility combination. So, you know, it starts to encapture this holistic way of moving. And then through rock climbing, I found slacklining, because them two worlds meet very well, because rock climbers actually invented slacklining, or found slacklining, by walking on tubular webbing from rock climbing. So that's how it developed in California around about the 1970s. So these worlds are very much colliding these days, rock climbing, slacklining, and yoga, because they're very conscious movement cultures. And they all benefit each other in so many beautiful ways, and they all have beautiful communities surrounded by them. And I love them all, and I have like these friendship groups in each one. And you know, I would really encourage everyone to try these three kind of pillars of movement. You know, you've got your yoga practice, which is very much this mind-body connection, finding this balance between stillness, flexibility, strength, balance. And then you'll come into slacklining, which is this very focused, dedicated balance practice. And then you have rock climbing, that is so aspirational in the sense of this epic landscaping, these kind of huge rock walls, this very strong masculine movement that really builds a very superhuman strength. So I think either one, these three just work so well together, and I would promote them all to anyone to try them.
And just out of interest, do you still do any climbing and slacklining now? Do you have time?
So my yoga practice I don't pinpoint myself now to say that I have a yoga practice, because I rarely step on my mat and say do a quote-unquote vinyasa practice or a flow, because what I've realized is, and this is kind of tapping onto this 80-20 principle, where we're looking at finding 80% of the reward, we're putting 20% of the effort in. And when you see these more advanced movements like handstand or planche or jump through or, you know, one-arm peacock, these aren't achievable through a vinyasa practice, through a generic flow class or any flow class that you're going to be attending at your studio. It's not going to allow you to have the time and repetition to build up the strength, flexibility to achieve these postures or these movements. So when it comes to my training, you have to create a plan that allows the body to thrive in this way of movement, which generally is this balance between strength and flexibility, which will create this kind of, and then you're creating this kind of movement pocket. So you have to create, you know, large amounts of repetition with a low amount of reps per set to increase strength. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to my practice, I go to my climbing for strength training, for enjoyment of the outdoors. I go to my slacklining again for enjoyment of outdoors, and the community is so wonderful. And also, slacklining for me now has become very much a hobby, disattached from anything else, where yoga is got so many connections for me, like work, play, friendship. It connects to design. So it has so much value, and I don't want to say pressure, but you know, this kind of, there is some sort of pressure that is held around yoga for me. The slackline is this very free and joyous, childlike opportunity for me. So I still practice all three, but my main focus right now in my movement practice this combination of mixed movement. So we're talking about like animal locomotion, kind of crawling, jumping, very functional based movements combined with this low repetition, high effort movement practices. So we're talking like press into handstand and planche training, one arm pull up training, you know, all these kind of things that really allows your physical practice to grow and become very powerful.
Wow. It all sounds amazing. I'm going to change tack slightly with the questions here. The next one is about your exciting year ahead. So we understand that you've got quite an exciting year filled with travel plans. And what we would like to know is, which place are you most looking forward to visiting? And how do you think that traveling enhances your yoga practice and your teachings?
Yeah, I've become very lucky in creating a business that allows me to travel. And, you know, it's not something that just came to me. It was something that I created and decided that I wanted. And something that it always reminds me of, and a book that I love, is The Alchemist. And you know, that young adult, he knew what he wanted. He knew he wanted to travel, so he decided to become that shepherd, and that shepherd opened the doors to allow him to thrive and grow as a human being. And you know, that's why I chose yoga, and you know, why a lot of people choose yoga as a career, is because it encapsulates freedom. And everyone is striving for freedom. Everyone who is trying to make money is trying to make money to create time. We all want more time. But unfortunately, when we're trying to create time through creating money, we lose time and we lose sight of time. So I think that's why the yoga teacher has become very aspirational or inspiring, or you know, a job role that people want to go after, is because they're in search of this freedom. And luckily for me, I've been able to combine that with my design to allow me to travel. And when I tell people about traveling, because you know, the way I travel and why I travel has evolved compared to the first time that I left with my, you know, my single ticket off to Hong Kong, is now for me, I talk about, you know, when people come to me and ask me about traveling, and you know, maybe they're nervous about traveling or why I travel, and I always say it's kind of like jumping in a swimming pool without knowing how to swim and being thrown this instruction manual, and you're trying to keep flow whilst reading the manual. So if you don't read the manual, you're going to drown. But then if you're at home at your 9 to 5, it's like you're on the sun lounger overlooking the pool, and these instructions are just by your side and you can pick them up when you want, but probably you're too busy and maybe you've got, you know, you're going to be distracted by so many things that will never come your way. So traveling for me is the opportunity to remove distraction and to really allow me to focus and go after what I want. And I always find these moments time and time again where, you know, I'm sitting at my desk quite a lot doing my design work, and, you know, I really have to focus in this very tight space. And there's always times where I know it's right to leave for a certain period of time. So now the time seems to get shorter and shorter, where I need to leave and give time for myself to really be inspired. And when you're traveling, you're also, everyone that you meet, or a lot of people you meet, are also in a very similar situation. So everyone has the opportunity to give all of themselves to you. So it's a beautiful way to find friendships and opportunities, partnerships. And, you know, for me, it's always going to be that kind of go-to place to allow me to grow exponentially compared to being in a static place. And you asked, you know, what destination I'm most excited about. I would actually have to say my trip that's just coming up, and I'm going to India. And what's so wonderful about this trip is I'm actually doing it with my dad, and there's no connection to work. There's no design. There's no yoga. And it's going to be just a beautiful opportunity for me and my dad to spend time together. And I first went traveling with my dad a couple of years ago. We motorbiked through Indonesia, and then we motorbiked across Vietnam. And I feel very blessed that my dad has been inspired by my travels and wanted to join me for a short period of time to experience something that I love with me. So to go to India, which is a place that I haven't visited either, to be able to go with my dad is going to be, I'm really excited to do that.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it's great that your dad is a good travel companion. It's so bonding to do something like that together, particularly, I would say, somewhere like India. Whereabouts in India are you starting off?
We're planning on doing quite a bit of a journey because me and my dad are very similar. We're very single focused. We're very dedicated, and we love a challenge. We both thrive on a challenge. So we're flying down into Kochi, and we're going to do a small amount of time exploring the south of India, and then we're going to motorbike all the way to Delhi. So we haven't got any plans in the way that we, you know, the route that we're going to get there by, but, you know, we're going to be using motorbikes a high percentage of the time, and just spending that time on the road, and just, you know, and just seeing the countryside, seeing India through traveling on the motorbike, and we'll just see what comes our way as we travel. We have no real plans apart from that we have to be in Delhi within 2 weeks. But I'm flying off to Thailand to do my next yoga teacher training, and my dad goes home and goes back to work.
Wow, it sounds amazing, and it also sounds very brave of you both that you're going to hit the Indian roads. So good luck with that, and have a fantastic trip. So I've just got a few more questions. The next one is, what mantra or philosophy do you live your life by?
So my teacher, Cameron Shane, told me something, and a mantra that he lives by through the Buddhacon curriculum or the Buddhacon practice. And the mantra or the quote is, the way that you do anything is the way that you do everything. And this is something that I always reflect on, and always something that I see within others, and it really allows you to see people in their true light. You know, if you see someone that is dedicated and always shows up on time and is passionate, most likely they're going to be dedicated, passionate in most aspects of their life. If you get someone that is always late, that always feels tired, that is unmotivated, uninspiring, and they're probably going to be like that in most of their aspects in their life. And as a teacher, this is such a strong quote or strong mantra, strong bit of information to hold close to you, because I think it really allows you to quickly assess someone in a situation and also assess yourself. You know, there's always times when maybe, you know, I see myself as being uninspiring, or maybe upset, or maybe not upset, but just like not great company to be around. And, you know, I ask myself, you know, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And I just don't want to represent myself in a bad light. And I want to be the best possible me I can be.
That leads quite nicely onto the next question, actually, which is, who's the most inspirational person that you've met and why?
So, yeah, I guess Cameron Shane would very much come on top of my list. And I think because he's very new to my life, and I think as you grow, the people that you meet have a stronger hold on you. And because you become I'll talk about myself, you know, as I've grown, I've become more passionate, more dedicated, more driven. And when I've become more particular with the people that I want to be around me, because there's only so many people you can give time to. And I want them people to really allow me to thrive. And I really want to allow others to thrive because I'm around them. So Cameron Shane, for me, is very much a role model in so many aspects of his life. Of course, he's, you know, a beautiful mover. He's dedicated to his craft. He's very intellectual, which is always going to be inspiring to me, because I feel like that's definitely an area of my life that I struggle, especially with articulating the way that I think. So the way that he articulates his thoughts is so beautiful and so passionate that that's something that I aspire to. The way that he teaches is very unique to the world of yoga, and very unique in general. His outlook on life and the way that he is able to deconstruct information to allow it to be accessible is very beneficial to me, because that's how it's really allowed me to grow and maintain large amounts of information. And also just this friendship that we've been able to create over the last year. This is so wonderful when you get to meet someone that, you know, they inspire you, but also you're able to inspire them. And I think that's what creates a very strong bond and relationship, because it allows both of you to have a purpose in that relationship. And, you know, I feel that Cameron, for me, is my role model in many aspects of my life, and I hope, and I know he's always there for me, you know, if I want to talk to him or I need direction or advice. And the same goes for him, you know, but in a different aspect. He will come to me for design, for branding, or maybe a fresh outlook on in a different direction through through a designer's eye. So, yeah, for me, Cameron is someone who's very inspiring and also has become a very good friend of mine.
Cameron Shane, if you're out there, I hope you've had the opportunity to listen to this and to hear how highly Jake speaks of you. Are you able to leave our listeners with some Jake Bullwhite words of wisdom?
So something that I always try and give myself the opportunity to do and really kind of create time for is making time for the unknown. So blocking out time in the month to give yourself the opportunity to have space to allow anything to happen. So, you know, for me, though, if I'm feeling uninspired or I need time to go travel, I'll book a ticket to a destination with the hope that something will inspire me, something will thrive and grow by booking in this time of nothingness, of this unknown. So allowing yourself, letting go of fear is, you know, so empowering and so powerful to allow you to grow. You know, that's only step one. And then you allow yourself this time to thrive in this unknown.
Jake is currently based in Brighton. To find out more about Jake's yoga teaching, which includes private lessons, please visit his website, www.jpwyoga.com. You'll also find Jake at 6 p.m. on Monday evenings, teaching at another space in London. If you'd like to attend his upcoming yoga retreat in Nicaragua, which is on the 22nd to 28th of May this year, that's 2017, you can find more information at www.altaretreats.com/Nicaragua. And finally, if you want to know more about Jake's branding and graphic design services, please go to www.jakepaulwhite.com. If you enjoyed this audio interview, part of the Meeting the Warriors series, then please listen up for the next one that will be featuring in the Warrior Addict Post very soon. You can subscribe at www.warrioraddict.com, and you can also join our growing men's yoga community on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.